Turn into Luke, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I'm going to continue what I started with last week, which is persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer. And oh, praise God. I pray that the Holy Spirit is going to bless you with such an eager spirit after prayer. That the Holy Spirit bless you with such an eager spirit. An eager spirit. May the Holy Spirit take away the have-to spirit away in the name of Jesus. May the Holy Spirit take away the have-to spirit, you know, that we all become victimized by. We all become victimized by. And that in the name of Jesus, in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that an eagerness for prayer, an eagerness with prayer, empowered in Jesus' name, empowered. You are now to be empowered in prayer in the name of Jesus. This is to be rest upon you, to be anointed with and transformed by in Jesus' name. Oh, we must be a people of prayer, but I want you to know, and I'll get to that, I don't know how much of it today, but I want you to know that it's the Holy Spirit that will lead you in these things, that will establish you. You know, prayer is spiritually appraised. In other words, it's power and it's anointing. This is one of the highest spiritually appraised activities that you and I can ever be involved in. That's why it is so difficult, okay? That's why it is so difficult, because it can't be achieved through the working of our flesh. You know, we work it out and we press forward and we go forward, but I just want you to be aware, I want you to know, and I pray that you'll interact with the Holy Spirit of God, that you will let Him bring you into the anointed power to pray. He will bring you, and I pray that you will believe, ask, and that you will believe for that, that the Holy Spirit will bring you into the anointed power to pray. Now with that, of course, that what we have to do, and as I've spoken it many times, is that we have to give God time. We have to give God time. You can even begin to lift that up. If we pray only when we're not busy, then we're not going to pray very often, are we? You know, you have to begin to let things find priority in your heart. And you begin to let the things of God and the things of the Spirit, that they take priority over other pressing business. I can tell you right now that pressing business will keep itself. It will keep itself. You have a greater calling on your life in the Lord Jesus Christ than the busyness of life. Than the busyness of life. And some of you are just going to have to make the decision that I'm just going to let it sit there and rot. If that's what it means. It can just sit there and rot, because when it comes to being weighed in with eternity, it's going to mean absolutely nothing. Nothing. All of your busyness, all of your labor, and all of your work could do this and accomplish that, and this over here and that, and I got to repair here, and I got to repair there, and then I don't ever come before God and do any kind of praying. We ought to recognize something's not right. And we're being robbed and we're being cheated is what's happening to us, because I will tell you right now that God will use you in a mighty way. And He is waiting. He is waiting for some situations. There are situations that the Holy Spirit is waiting for you. Only you can engage Him in those areas of your life and concern. And I'm not just talking about all of our personal needs, but with your family and with other things and other situations, that He's looking for you. He's looking for you to engage Him in prayer and to begin to stand in prayer, that you begin to believe Him in prayer, that you walk with Him through the work of prayer all the way to the breakthrough and the coming of the victory. Oh, I pray that that spirit of eagerness come upon us in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, this has to do with persistence right here as we were looking at it last week. And then we find that this element is such of an importance to us as we begin to pray, as we begin to seek for God to move and to open doors, as we begin to see the power of God move and to see it move, that we have to add something to our prayers. And it's called persistence. It's called persistence, that we find that the way that we come to victory, the way that we find victories, is that we add the work of persistence to our prayers. I'm going to read it again, and then I'm going to read more into this. But here in verse 5, and he said to them, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed, and I cannot get up to give you anything. Then verse 8 says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence. Again, you know, the NIV uses the word boldness there. And then the King James uses the word importunity. And the word right there in the Greek is anadia. A-N-A-I-D-E-I-A. And I'll speak that more in just a minute. But because of his persistence, and I want you to get that, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. You know what is an amazing thing to me is that this is the teaching of Jesus. And he's teaching these disciples on how that they can see their prayers heard and how they can see their prayers being answered. And this is one of the examples that he gives. After going through what is we call the Lord's Prayer, then he goes into this example, and he uses this about persistence, about persistence. Now, that word anadia, it means shamelessness. That's pretty good, isn't it? It means shamelessness. It also means persistence. The opposite of modesty. Persistence, the opposite, that's part of its definition, of the opposite of modesty. You know, I know that a lot of times that, you know, being reserved, that's a very good quality that can be in behavior. I think sometimes, you know, we look to make sure that, you know, we're dignified and that we're acting in a dignified manner, you know, but you know that sometimes you know you say, well, wait a minute now. I'm kind of in maybe embarrassing myself. Maybe we need to embarrass ourselves just a little bit more and come out of our comfortable zone and even enter into being a little bit annoying. Right, being a little bit annoying. I'm talking about in the realm of the spirit. You know that we not leave God alone. That we not leave God alone. You know, a lot of times that has to do with how do we with the whole heart really want to see an answer here in whatever it be. You know, sometimes we just throw things out there and we don't ever really, as the word says, calculate the cost and what it means for us to really to find the answer and to find the breakthrough power for God to really move in that situation. And you know, if you follow the Holy Spirit, he'll even lead you through those weaknesses. When I don't have a heart for, you know, that's why we ask. That's why we the word says ask. It says that we're to seek and we're to knock and we're to do it in a persistent spirit, in a persistent spirit. Let's be a little bit annoying before the presence of Almighty God. And in reality, the Lord is not annoyed at all. He's not annoyed at all. Well, let's look on and see that. So persistence. We see that adding persistence to our prayer life will bring about answers to prayer. It'll bring about answers to prayer. And in reality, what we really find is that we pray too much in our own power, in our own might. That if we engage the Holy Spirit into our prayer life as we ought to engage Him in our whole walk before the Lord, then we will find an anointing that comes upon us not only for prayer, but being led by the Spirit of God to the answer in prayer. I hope that you realize that you're not standing alone or walking alone. Many times we feel like we're under our own power, our own might. Oh, God's way off up there. We're way down here. I'm trying to get Him way up there to move in my situation, to hear and to answer my prayer way down here. You know, this is nothing but perception, and there's no reality to it whatsoever. But it undermines, doesn't it? It undermines your confidence. It brings in fears. We feel like the weight of finding the answer is on us many times. But this is not the way of the Lord. The Holy Spirit, you know, even at that point when we begin to pray, you know, we begin to pray, we move through the heart, not through the intellect. Because when we look at some things, they're just insurmountable, aren't they? They're just insurmountable. In the natural, they may be insurmountable. But we're calling on the God of heaven. We're calling on the Lord our God. We're calling on the God of the impossible. Let the Holy Spirit move you in prayer through your heart and not be bound by your intellect in the limitations of what you think, what you feel, and what you see. Because if we do that, then all we do is pray about those things that we feel favorable about. That's all we pray about, is the things that we feel favorable about. You know, and there's such limitations in all that. When God wants to bring His power, He wants to bring His miracle-working power, He wants to bring the power of God to bear in situations that do not have any hope in the natural whatsoever, He wants those that will be strong, those that will raise up in a bold spirit, that will not let go of God. Persistence is where we'll find the power of the breakthrough. And oh yes, you know that I can find myself reaching a weariness. I come to a weariness that I don't know what to do and I don't know how to pray. And I feel a little bit on the frustrated side about every bit of it or whatever it would be. I feel that. But you know, when we bring that to the Lord and we're not looking to be found in our own power, or our own might, and we do engage the Holy Spirit. We engage the Holy Spirit in prayer, the enabling power of the Holy Spirit in prayer. And then we find when we come in the midst of that weakness and we lay it all before the Lord, and we're looking for the Lord to carry us on through, then we find things being filled into our hearts. Things begin, a refreshing spirit comes upon us, a renewed emphasis. We find a quickening of a direction that we never ever thought about ever before. And then there's an energizing that comes with that direction that you feel instilled deep in your heart. And you're refreshed in the power of God, in the power and the ability to keep on going forward in a persistent spirit. That's not how most people pray. You give yourself to the Lord in prayer. And you don't worry about what abilities that you have or that you don't have or whatever it would be. You know, you begin to call upon the Lord. You begin to engage Almighty God here. And you understand the promise. See, we believe these are called promises. What we're reading in this story right here, this is a promise, isn't it? It's a promise in the word of the Lord that persistence will find the way to the open door. Persistence will find the way to the open door. And you'll find victories and things that maybe that in your heart that you've even given up. I pray that the Holy Spirit renew you today in the mighty name of Jesus, that in those things that you've just become so disheartened about and you've kind of in a back way of the heart, you've kind of like, you know, surrendered and given up. May the Spirit of God renew you this morning. May the Spirit of the Lord renew you in the name of Jesus. Our God is a God of answered prayer, and He will lead you to the answer. The answer may not come instantly. It may not come automatically. It may not come immediately. But know and understand that the Holy Spirit will lead you to the answer of your prayer. Well, with that, you know, we look around right here. We look a little bit further. So we see the persistence. And then in the latter part of verse 8, again, it says, because of his persistence. And this is the little story that Jesus has told his disciples as they have asked him. You know, for example, in verse 1, and it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. That's what he's doing. He's doing just that. Teach us to pray. And the Lord is teaching you and me about how to pray. Most people, they lift up a prayer and they may pray about it a little bit here and there. Most people lift it up once or twice or whatever it would be, and then they pray about it here or they pray about it there, or then they completely forget about it, and then it comes back and a month later they'll lift it up or whatever it would be. You know, but the Spirit of God, and I cannot emphasize enough about the Holy Spirit here. The Holy Spirit will lead you to the fulfillment and the answer of prayer. If He needs to do a work in me, maybe my faith needs to be increased. I don't know. But He will bring that about. See, the Spirit of God knows what my weaknesses are. He knows what I need to be able to mount up a true attack and a true consistency to see the breakthrough come about. He knows what I need and He knows my weaknesses. You know, and that's why it's so important that you and I walk before the Lord with a transparent heart. God never turns down the transparent heart. You know, the one that He doesn't move through or can't or is hindered in moving through is the heart that is seeking to simply be what they think God wants them to be, or what we think that God wants us to have to be so that we can find answer to prayer. Lay that all down. Lay it all down and be nothing more than transparent before the Lord. Be transparent before God in the midst of your weaknesses. Tell Him about your fears. Tell Him about your unbelief. Oh, Pastor, would I ever do that? That's almost sacrilegious that, you know, I'd come before God. You know, I'm calling on God. You know, I'm asking God. And I'm going to tell God, Lord, I'm so inundated with such a spirit of unbelief, oh, Lord God. Yeah, bring it to Him. You know, the key to the Spirit of God filling the areas that you and I need for Him to fill is transparency. Transparency. God never turns us down when we tell it like it is. Are you with me there? He never turns you down. You tell him your weakness. Tell him what you're not capable of doing. Tell him where you falter. Tell him where you fail. Get your eyes off of yourself and your weaknesses, because you were never to be able to walk in the spirit of the realm in the power of prayer through the flesh. The flesh can never achieve it. It can never achieve it. That's why there's always that sense of falling short. You know, we go to prayer and we pray. And then a lot of times we're simply operating out of our intellect. We're operating out of our intellect. You must be a person that operates out of the Spirit, because that's where you will find the power of God. You will not find it in your intellectual man. Your intellectual man has such limitations, and especially has limitations when it comes to things of the Spirit. How do you expect to achieve the things of the Spirit through the natural intellect of man? It can't be done. It can't be done. You know, and that's why we've sensed such failure in the midst of it. Well, look on, and I want you to see, this is also spoken to us. I want you to see this, for example, that we find right down here. Let's look down in verse 13, and it says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father," and isn't it interesting how he phrases this, "how much more your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him." You know, he's talking about giving good gifts. Well, let me go ahead. I'll even read the context so that we can see it plainly. Now, this is in verse 11. Let me come back up there. "Now, suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he?" And then he goes on and says, if you being evil, you're being evil, your nature, being evil within it, in the natural man, and you know how to give good gifts. You do, even though you're like that, you know how to give good gifts. Well, what do you think? I mean, you're going to ask God for one thing and he's going to give you something else? You know, that's the point that's being made here. You must choose that you will believe in the goodness of the Lord your God. You must make a decision. And that decision is that I believe on the word of the Lord. Look at the encouragements that we should be receiving right here from the word of the Lord. That if we're whatever we're asking for, but he's not going to give it, he's going to give us something else completely different. I'll read it again here in verse 11 again. "Now suppose one of you fathers has asked his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he?" Now, I just want to make a comment right here, because he goes on and he talks about the Holy Spirit. Because the answer will be manifested through the Holy Spirit. That's why he says that in the latter part of 13. He doesn't say, well, won't he give you good gifts? He doesn't say that. He refers to the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about you ask for something, and we're talking about and you get a particular thing that you've asked for, and he's given an example about you fathers, and if you know how to do that, how much more your heavenly Father? And then all of a sudden, he's no longer talking about gifts. He makes reference to the Holy Spirit on purpose. On purpose. Let's read that again. Let me look at it again, what it says right here. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I need the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring whatever provisions that you need. What are your weaknesses? That you will be transparent and humble before your God. You will bring your transparent heart and your weaknesses before the Lord your God. You will lay them out before the Lord your God. You will call upon the name of the Lord, and you will look for the provisions of the power of Almighty God in the Holy Spirit to raise you up in His strength. Many times what the Lord does is that there's a work in our hearts that we're so limited in our hearts that the Holy Spirit begins to enlarge our hearts. We won't turn to it, but in Psalm 119, verse 35, talks about the Lord enlarging our hearts. And he's not talking about your natural heart, is he? You know, this is what the Holy Spirit does, is that he begins to move in my heart, and then he begins to enlarge my heart. That gives me greater heart. It gives me greater heart, and I find those limitations being removed from me, those limitations in prayer, and I find things expanding in my mind and in my heart and in my desire and in my will. They begin to expand. This is the work of the power of the Holy Spirit, and he enables you with greater heart. With greater heart. And then in the midst of greater heart, there's other attributes that the Spirit of God begins to bring. He begins to bring the compassion of Almighty God. You know how many times that you find in the narrative in the Gospels where Jesus was manifested in the miracle-working power of God, how many times it makes a reference to how he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. You know, it's not being once removed to the power of God. It comes through the transforming power within. The Holy Spirit brings transforming power within to arrive at that different level in him, to where I'm empowered with things within me that I did not have before. The ability to pray through, a tenacious spirit, instead of a wandering around kind of in a way in prayer. The Spirit of the Lord will cause you to home in with a tenacious spirit. And not only that, but he'll give you the patience of Almighty God, to where he'll take away that anxiousness within you. He will remove that anxious spirit because you're not seeing anything happen. He'll remove that anxious spirit, and then something will replace the anxious spirit called peace and rest. Peace and rest will come to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, you know, even there is a place at various points in time. This doesn't always happen, but there are places in point in time before anything has changed and anything has been made manifest whatsoever, that the breakthrough in the Spirit has already come and it's been given to you in your heart. And you already know and rest in peace and rest in grace that you already know that the victory has been won. Mark your place right here, and hopefully I'll come back to it maybe, but I want you to turn to Romans chapter 4 real quick, if you would. In Romans chapter 4, I want you to see this. This is a Abraham went through so much. I'm going to do a message called The Steps of Abraham sometime. The Lord's not given it to me yet, released it to me to do. You know, but you understand that Abraham, all of the steps that he went through, defeat and failure and blunders and stupidness and the like that Abraham went through. But you know, God did not let go of him, and he did not let go of God. And because of that, the Lord established him. He established him in what I'm going to call a powerhouse of faith and prayer, to where, you know, we refer to him as Father Abraham, don't we? He's the father of the faith of us all, being justified by one thing and one thing alone, and where God brought him to. It was the grace of God. It was the grace of God. God did it by the grace of God. God moved in his power, and he brought nothing into existence. He brought nothing into existence because God called it forth. You know how much the God wants to use you and me in that same manner? Here we go. Now you're over here, and I want you to see this. This is in Romans chapter 4, and it's talking about Abraham. And let's see, let me look at verse 1 real quick. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Verse 3, for what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Then let's come on over here, if we would, and I want to go over here into verse 17. Do you realize that this is not only what God did in Abraham, but this is a promise to you and to me? Now, this is in verse 17 of Romans 4:17. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. Now, that was the promise, and that's what God had done. And now, look at this. In the sight of him, that's the Lord God, in the sight of him whom he believed, even God. Now look at this part of the promise, who gives life to the dead, and he calls into being that which does not exist. Isn't that absolutely incredible? That's not written simply as a narrative, as a history about Abraham. That is written as a promise to you and to me in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that God will call into being that which does not even exist. Because he found somebody willing to go on the journey of faith with him. Are you willing to go on the journey? Are you willing to go on the journey? It's a journey. And when I say faith, I want you to understand that these are two things that are almost inseparable. You can't hardly separate faith and prayer. You can't separate faith and prayer. If you have faith, then it naturally leads to prayer. If you move in prayer, it naturally moves you to faith. You know, they're like brother and sister. You can't separate the two of them. You know, and that's when we begin to pray, and the Spirit of God, let the Holy Spirit have his way. Do you really want to see your prayers answered? Or you just toy with the idea of it? Do you want to see your prayers really answered, or do you simply toy with the ideal of it? Yes, there's a price to be paid, but it's more than worth it of moving on and upward and farther in the Lord, letting the Holy Spirit bring you into these things, because this is the promise of God. Oh, how glorious is that promise? Here it is again in verse 17 in the latter part, the promise made to you and I, that when we look at situations that we look, now listen, we look through the eyes of the truth and promise of the word. We do not look at the natural condition or circumstance or situation, you will be defeated. Yes, we look at things where there is no hope. What about it? Okay, what about it? Isn't your God bigger than that? Isn't your God bigger than that? And so we're not moved. We're not moved in the realm of the natural where we become defeated and downtrodden and disheartened because of, oh, how impossible this situation is. How impossible it is. But this is the promise to God. This is the word of the Lord inaugurated through the holy, righteous blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the power and the faithfulness of these promises have been made to you and to me in Christ Jesus, who gives life to the dead and he calls into being that which does not exist. Now look here, I want you to see this. In hope against hope. I want you to hear that. In hope, he had hope, but it was against hope. Are you seeing that? In hope, he had hope. He had hope, but it was against all hope. There's no hope in any of that. There's no hope for you. There's no hope over there. There's no hope, but in hope against hope, he believed. In hope against hope, he believed. In order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that, look here, that which had been spoken. That's the word of God. Okay, so quoted, this is in quotations, so shall your descendants be. I hope that you're hearing that. We take up the word of promise in the same spirit as Abraham. We take up the word of promise and we believe God on the promise, not upon the circumstance of the situation. And the eyes of faith will cause you to be able to see through training. The eyes of faith will cause you to be able to see more through training by the Holy Spirit, to see things in the realm of the Spirit. And you can see the breakthrough at a distance. You can see the breakthrough at a distance. And you will be encouraged to go forward even in the midst of everything that says it's impossible. Well, all right, let me move this on real quick. And then we see right here, I'm going to read that again in verse 18, in hope against hope, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken. Here's the promise, so shall your descendants be. Now look at this really unique, unusual thing that happened to Abraham. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Oh, I'm going to tell you right now, if he can do that in Abraham, he can do it in you and me. Blunder after blunder, mistake after mistake, unbelief after unbelief, wrong decision after wrong decision. But here he is to this point, at this recording, here he is at this place. And the promise had not come. The promise had not come. The promise had not come, but the victory in his heart had already been won. And he no longer looked at anything in the natural whatsoever to be able to bring this about in any form whatsoever. He now had tunnel vision. And it was the tunnel vision of looking to his God. And he looked to his God alone. And something rose up inside of him that came of the hope of Almighty God. And I'm sure he did a lot of rejoicing. I'm sure he did a lot of thanksgivings. I'm sure he did a lot of praises. Because, you know, you understand that that is the natural response of victory in the heart. That's the natural response of victory, is offering up thanksgiving, offer up in praise unto God, standing on knowing, oh, hallelujah, knowing that the answer, if it's got to be created, if God's got to create it and it can't be found anywhere else, hallelujah, that's what He said He would do. I tell you, that's why the evil one is trying to oppress you so much, because you are such a danger. You are so dangerous in the kingdom of God. And he's got to keep you beat down, living a base life. And it's that you will never come into the realizations of who you really are in this world, in this life. What your calling really is in Jesus Christ and the authority that He has given you in Him, if He can keep you as far from it as possible, that's what He will do. Oh, let me bring a little disturbance His way. That's what I'll do, and that'll distract Him. You know, He'll be so entwined with all of His disturbances and His upsets and His problems and His difficulties that He doesn't even think about believing God. And He doesn't even see the attack that's against Him. Oh, we got to come out of those things. We got to come out of those things because God has designated purposes for you in Him that I tell you now that He's called you to accomplish in Him. You, not somebody else, not the preacher. You that He has called to rise up in Him. He'll show you where it's at, and He'll show you how to stand in it, and then He'll anoint you in the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. And there will be from it the flow of many blessings. One last part, and then I'm done. Verse 19, and without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now here's verse 20. Yet, oh hallelujah, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. But something else happened. As he waited, something else happened. He did not waver in unbelief as he waited, but something else happened, but grew strong in faith. And what was the natural response, as I made a note about a minute ago? Giving glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. That's not natural, is it? He waited. He waited. He waited more. And we know the story and all that he went through and all the silliness and blunders and weaknesses and failures and defeats and everything else that Abraham experienced. But God brought him here to the place where his eyes were totally off of himself, off of the situation, off of others, off of anything, all things other than God himself. And in the midst of it, he contemplated that there's no work of my own that can accomplish this. And the power of the Holy Spirit, the longer he went, the stronger he got. Oh, my goodness. Will you be willing to follow him? Will you willing to follow him? No. I'm putting it on you today, okay? The work that God has for you to accomplish. You find out what it is from God. And you dig in. You dig in. You dig in. Oh, he's going to bring many miracles. You know, God has called some of you to walk in miracles. There's some of you right here, right now, have been called to walk in miracles that don't see any miracles right now. and you've been a Christian for 20 years, but that does not matter. There are destiny breakthroughs to be found. There's destiny breakthroughs to be found. You're going to find it. You're going to find it. You're going to find it. And so I come back to what last Sunday, okay, I do again today. In the name of Jesus, I release in this place. I release the powerhouse of faith in the name of Jesus in this place. Powerhouse of faith that you're designated to be. In the name of Jesus, I release a powerhouse of prayer in the name of Jesus. That, oh, that we be consumed with a spirit of prayer. Hallelujah. Lord, praise his holy, righteous name. Praise his holy, righteous name. Glory, glory to the Lord. Would you all come on now? Oh, I lay hold of it. Lay hold of it. Lay hold of it.